This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
The issue of our time is sustainability and how do we build better products while keeping the planet sane. Looking at people changing their buying behaviors, making room for bamboo toothbrushes, for example, the partners that you're working with, which includes vendors, your investors, it's a holistic view of place of the business in the entire society and see like the areas that you are impacting and how can you make a positive impact.
Hello and welcome to the Passion People Podcast. You're listening to Season 2, Episode 24. The Passion People Podcast chronicles stories of people who follow their passion and make it manifest in tangible ways so you can get inspired and get one step closer to what you're passionate about. The world is under the grip of COVID-19, and as more and more people work from home, distance themselves in an effort to curtail the spread of the virus, I would just want to say a few words from Rabbi Yosef as we head into the weekend. Every hand that we don't shake must become a phone call we must place. Every embrace that we avoid must become a verbal expression of warmth and concern. Every inch and every foot that we physically place between ourselves and another must become a thought as to how we might be of help to that other should the need arise. I felt that these words aptly reflect how our behavior must change and show warmth in a world where we cannot touch or physically interact with fellow human beings. On today's episode, I'm in conversation with Aish, who runs a conscious business. And today we talk about conscious capitalism and conscious consumerism. If you're wondering what that means, if you're wondering why should be conscious about what you're consuming and what conscious capitalism is all about, you're in the right place. Let's get on with the episode. Stay safe, everyone. Hey Aish, thank you so much for taking time to be on the Passion People Podcast.
Naga, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for making this happen.
I'm really excited to talk to you because of two reasons. The first thing is that I've get to know you and the work that you're doing over the last couple of months. And secondly, I believe that your passion, what the topic that you're going to cover today, is extremely relevant in today's context and today's age of overindulgence, overconsumption, and just having more of everything. Without taking that away from you, what's your passion? How did you get to be here?
Sure. Thanks for the setting, and I'm glad that you feel that conscious consumerism is a topic that deserves more attention today. I feel the same, and that's something that I've been passionate about over the last few years. To introduce myself, I'm currently building Mensch Ventures, which is right now a content marketing agency for conscious brands. And we help conscious brands grow using digital media channels. And I'll dive into details later. Suffice it to say that I see on a cultural level, people who are the same age as ourselves are making big changes, whether it comes to the products that we buy or the topics that we choose to engage in. And I see this explosion of consciousness that that first caught my attention maybe a couple of years back. Yeah, it's been a fascinating head of a ride ever since. It's been a good big spiritual journey for me myself, and it's been interesting to connect those dots and bring some of that observations to the marketing world and see like how can we use it to build new brands that sort of give the world a new form of leadership that I think the business world deserves and needs right now. So that's how I would summarize it. Does that give you a good picture?
Absolutely. The question that I have for you is that how did this come about and why conscious consumerism and what is conscious consumerism? If you can just elaborate a little bit for the listeners.
Sure. And I think I might as well begin like how I stumbled upon this phenomena and how I first came to observe it. So I started Mensch along with my co-founder 3 years ago. We noticed waves in the internet space, a lot of people coming in online back in 2016, if you remember. And we kind of had a hunch that like this is going to create ripples in the way people approach marketing. I would say like one of the bigger influences at that point in time could be Gary Vaynerchuk, which like seeing him doing his thing on the internet kind of gave me a lot of ideas on how brands and people can really share their ideas on this newfound platform that is the internet, which includes social media right now. And that's where we've largely been focusing on. But yeah, I mean, so we were active in that space. After about a year of working with a variety of organizations, we found ourselves in the middle of a quagmire of sorts, which, so we had started off building a communications business and we were forced to think about like what is it that we want to communicate or what is it that a communications agency like ourselves stand for. And that is when I went looking. I remember stumbling upon the sustainable development goals back then, and I was looking for a big enough canvas where I felt like businesses could make an impact. Sustainable development goals really looked like that opportunity. During a subsequent trip to the US, I think I discovered conscious capitalism somewhere along on the internet, where like a Google search led me to the book written by John Mackey, who is the co-founder of Whole Foods. I noticed this conscious capitalism community emerging. For people who are not familiar with conscious consumerism or conscious capitalism, I would break it this way, like consciousness essentially means awareness. And when you gain more awareness around the product that you're buying, the kind of impact that it has on your health, on the environment, on family, on the lives of people producing that product, I think when you make a purchase with that heightened level of awareness is what we can call conscious consumerism in action. I'm sure like this definition would have already sent you thinking of last things that you might have bought or seen a friend buying, where a person is really struck by what a brand stands for or what they mean. And people have been buying that way for ages now. And it's only time that the issue of our time is sustainability and how do we build better products while keeping the planet sane. As we understand conscious consumerism today, it largely relates to purchases that are healthier and more sustainable for the planet. That is a space that we've been observing as a marketing agency, looking at people changing their buying behaviors, making room for bamboo toothbrushes, for example, or biological cleaners in their homes instead of chemical laden ones. So yeah, and we've been constantly trying to find ways on the internet, how do you communicate those kind of stories and reach that audience via social media. And the contrary or the opposite side of that coin is conscious capitalism, which is a list of tenets for businesses to follow as to like what can a conscious business do in today's day and age. So again, if you apply that definition of consciousness, that of being more aware to how you run your business, so it translates into taking care of what your customers actually need and of course creating a good product around it, but also to take care of your people who are building your product to serve, the product or service that goes out to the customer, the partners that you're working with, which includes vendors, your investors. It's a holistic view of place of the business in the entire society and see like the areas that you are impacting and how can you make a positive impact and reduce or mitigate all the negative ones. That is what a conscious capitalism essentially translates to. There's this whole book by John Mackey about it, who goes on to describe four tenets of conscious capitalism. I can share a link to that book as a read, and we can go from there. Or if you prefer, we can go into details as to like how John Mackey prefers to break conscious capitalism down and how it applies and is relevant for people who may be starting out businesses today or they're finding themselves in managerial or leadership positions in their organizations.
So I'll leave, like you mentioned, that we'll have a link to the book left in the show notes. For the people who are tuning in, you can find a link to the book that Ash is referring to by John Mackey on the show notes. The question, Ash, is that consumerism led to planned obsolescence in a sense, right? Because they wanted manufacturing to keep on going. The industries needed people to continue consuming more and more and more, which is why we have the world in the shape and form that we have today, where things become obsolete every couple of years, even though they're in perfect working conditions. In this context, in a world that's always driven by more and which has always wanted people to consume more, how does conscious capitalism fit into this entire scheme of things? Because you're now changing the focus of a business which has traditionally been shareholder value, and you're now taking it to stakeholder value. So how does it all fit in the current context?
That's a great question, Naga. I mean, the way I see it, so whether it's the case of Apple, let's say, launching a new iPhone every year, which barely has any incremental features, many of us would argue whether that's a necessary purchase or not. What we see as rampant forms of consumerism, or things that really turn us off about consumerism, I think I emanate from a place of a lower form of consciousness, in the sense that Apple sort of thinks that their interest lies in selling more products, more of iPhones to the people, to the consumers. That's one way of looking at it, and then that can be a variable that you optimize for. Another way to look at it is to, when we see businesses as institutions that are there in the society and they have their own set of influence, it really matters where the entrepreneur, the business leader, chooses to focus their attention on. So if you think about the customer and maximize their user, their experience, you can find alternate ways to generate profits, I believe, which may not have to do with selling more of a particular product. When we say that we see rampant forms of consumerism, the things that put us off are things that are motivated by a narrow form of consciousness, where the business is interested in promoting its own products over the difference in consumer value that they might be bringing along with that. Now, someone may say that, like, in a free market, that sort of takes care of its own. If a company is not offering additional value, people are just not gonna purchase that. But and it can happen over the years. But a conscious business would instead take that or foresee that event happening and make changes to build products with more longevity and find alternate ways to maximize their customer attention. I think a difference between a traditional business and a conscious business is a conscious business would do most of those things proactively and on their own, rather than being driven by from the customer or from the regulators. Yeah, that's how I would draw that distinction.
I hear you. So that's in terms of the way a conscious business would look at things, right? So mm-hmm. that is one perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The second perspective I'd like to delve into is on the conscious consumerism side, from the consumer's perspective itself, right? Because we're living in a world where there's a sale by Amazon every 6 months, there's a sale by Flipkart every 3 months, and we're being forced to spend more. This whole fintech revolution that we're a part of is just a way for people to spend money without feeling like it, right? It started off with cash, then credit card, contactless credit cards. Now it's on your Apple phone, Apple Watch. You just tap it and the money is out of your account. Mm-hmm. The way I think about it is that they're trying to make us spend money without us actually feeling like we're spending money. Because if you're spending 20,000 rupees in cash, you actually feel it. And if you're spending 20,000 rupees by just tapping your Apple Watch, you don't really feel it that much. And they're also taking that pain away by making you pay that back over a 12-month EMI or whatever it is. So in a world that is geared up to A, make people buy and make them buy mindlessly, mm-hmm. how does one shift perspective and start thinking about the kind of choices and the kind of impact the choices one has? For example, ever since I've been speaking to you over the last couple of months, personally, this has been a change that I have gone through. I now think about, where does my milk come from? What kind of cows does it come from? Are the farmers being paid fairly for it?
Mm-hmm.
How is it reaching my house? And that's conscious consumerism, right? That's me expanding my range of consciousness, going from just, oh, here's a packet of milk, let me drink it, to all of these additional questions. How can people start broadening their horizons around this?
Again, a very interesting question. And I think it brings us back to the gist that, like, customer essentially corrects a free market in that sense. Like, a customer tells a person, tells the market that what he or she is looking for. And this change is, I believe, it's a cultural change that's going to happen first before. I mean, it's an amalgamation for sure. But we see a lot of people already asking these questions, as you're mentioning the story that you've gone through yourself. Like, a consciousness journey starts with raising one's awareness. And I think There are several ways that people are already adopting to do that. We see this space of the slow lifestyle emerging out, which essentially talks, which has a component of slow travel. So for example, if you're traveling, you don't go to a bunch of different places, but stay at a single place more and get to know the local community, spend locally, and it keeps your carbon footprint low, and there are all kinds of sustainability advantages that it comes along with. But on an individual level, people who enjoy doing this find this a more meaningful experience. And that change in consciousness, that change in individual consciousness is something that we can all choose to be a part of given what's happening. So if you see the wellness space, all of the meditation and mindfulness products and services that are coming out, Naval Ravikant has been posting about it for a while now. So I think there are these cultural changes that are happening in the society. And like raising one's consciousness essentially starts with that first question, like, what can I be more conscious of in my surrounding, in terms of things that I'm doing, things that I'm buying, things that I'm consuming myself. And yeah, and that sort of change trickles over to your friends, to the network, and ultimately to the organizations, if you look at it that way. Yeah, I think these are two mutually reinforcing forces which are part of this larger consciousness revolution that we seem to be going through. Do you think that answers your question?
Yes, absolutely. We all have a certain consumption pattern, and like you said, we make decisions with our wallet, and that essentially dictates the movement in the market in terms of where the demand is and from where the supply comes from, right?
Mm-hmm.
The question is, how does an existing person, like what can someone who's tuning into the show right now, what can they do to kind of elevate their consciousness or expand their consciousness and be more aware about their choices?
Not sure if I can answer that for everyone, because each individual journey is different. So in fact, I would like to fly off a little tangent over here to share something really interesting, which is this book on A Theory of Everything by Ken Wilber. And he talks about these different strands of consciousness. So he talks about 7 levels, if I remember this right. And you have 4 or 5 levels of first tier consciousness where you are motivated by different set of values. So he calls a red band of consciousness as someone who is, we would call like a person who, for whom nation, family sort of always comes first and everything comes after. Then there are people who are part of like what Ken calls the green band of consciousness, which is the eco-conscious audience, people who actually see themselves as making clean and sustainable purchases and caring about those issues. Then there are people who form who fall in the blue strand of consciousness, which is which has to do where people value truth and reason, rationale over every other thing. So that is their barometer in a lot of different ways, in terms of how they value different issues in the society. So the way Ken describes these are individual, like these are individual different bands, and people can people may start anywhere across those bands given their family history, given their environment, given their experiences in life, and we make these consciousness journeys as we go along. So it's quite fantastic if you look at it, like whether we are conscious or not, we're undergoing that consciousness journey ourselves, and if we can get a hold of it, if we can take more control over that process, yeah, we can make more useful journeys along the way. And in a lot of ways, I see a person's conscious journey towards an increased form of consciousness as a spiritual journey. So the other day I was looking at this YouTube video featuring someone by the name of, if I remember this right, featuring Dandapani, and he's a monk, and he was talking about like how do you increase your focus, increase your concentration, and it's about he talks of consciousness as this glow of light, and you have all of these spaces in your mind that have to do with say your work, things that matter to you in a personal setting with your friends, and things that are personally important to you, and all of these things come in handy when you're making purchases as well, when you're voting with your wallet, and when you're looking for companies that stand for the same values as you do. So when by making ourselves more conscious is, so he suggests a meditative journey. So for example, if you sit back and be conscious about, for example, the chair that you're sitting on, the room that you're in, and then take if you just sit by yourself, you'll see yourself inundated with different kinds of thoughts. And the idea is then to go to these different spaces in mind and see, like, can you be more mindful about those experiences, and then find things that sort of forward your worldview in that sense. To summarize it all, in terms of increasing consciousness, it's about starting with things that matter to you, that you feel are right there in front of you, and then asking questions like, where is this product coming from? Who is making this product? Is this product, how does this product work in my life? Like, if it's a food product, how does it interact with the system? Asking those sort of questions and coming up with answers, whether it's supplied through the brand or it's coming in through your independent research, are essentially ways in which a person can grow consciousness. And I think with internet, I wasn't born back then, but yeah, we will say it's much easier to do all of this now than any time else in the history. So yeah, I guess we have the tools at our disposal, and it's up to us to ask the right, I wouldn't even say right questions, but ask more questions about things that we have come to believe, things that we have come to incorporate in our behavior, and see what their basis are, and are there any pertinent questions that make us question those behaviors and allow us to change.
Absolutely. I think that's extremely well put. Really like the bit on the meditation that you mentioned, because that was never something that I connected to being conscious. But yes, it is self-awareness. It is knowing your surroundings and what is there around you, and understanding your thoughts and your surroundings, and that's consciousness. And that's something that I didn't really put connect those dots, and you know, I like the way that you put that across.
Consciousness as a subject is arguably the least understood topic that we have right now at our disposal, and it's becoming increasingly relevant. For example, I've seen this conversation happen in the artificial intelligence community around consciousness, whether AI can develop consciousness or not, which brings us back to the problem that what is consciousness? And if you look at academic literature anywhere, there is no coherent or like concurring viewpoint on a lot of things that would matter. And people are still debating these ideas. And I would say at this point in time, a person's individual experiences sort of matter more than what people or experts or books can tell us about consciousness. It's fun in a variety of ways, because we can collectively take this up, take this exercise up, and share our own experiences with consciousness to help everyone understand it better and use it better. So yeah, I think we're at very, from what I can understand, I think we're at very preliminary level in terms of understanding consciousness and using it in our day-to-day lives, which makes it all the more exciting to be a part of. There are so many questions you don't find easy answers to. This challenge is really, really interesting to be a part of.
Right. And you mentioned earlier, you've been a conscious consumer, and you've been following this whole topic of consciousness over the last couple of years. So how has your worldview changed ever since you've been becoming more conscious about the choices that you make? And, you know, what are those realizations that you had along the way? And how do you see this journey panning out in the coming months and years?
In terms of like some of the lifestyle changes that I have made, about a year, 18 months back, I sold off my car and started using public transport more often. I mean, part of it was also because Delhi did develop a good metro system and UI and things are fairly accessible over here. So that allowed me to make that change. But for sure, like that, the idea of using public transport did come to me after, it grew stronger after my experiences in the conscious brands, conscious capitalism, and the sustainable development. On this, like as I said, like since consciousness is so less understood, it's even less practiced, generally speaking. And I can say from my own experience in the last couple of years, I wouldn't call myself, and I would say being a conscious consumer is in itself a journey And I think there is a reason why this, what I'm saying is important, is because, I mean, in terms of, like, even if I'm making certain conscious purchases, there can always be cases where I am not conscious of things. And to suggest that whether I'm more conscious or whether I'm more conscious about a particular thing, say, for example, in this case, selling off my car and using public transport, being a conscious consumer is a journey. Like, everyone gets to choose those decisions for him or herself.
That's fantastic. And I hope that, you know, the public transport system in other Indian cities can catch up to where it is in Delhi, so that we can reap some of those benefits as well.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, there's another interesting thing that people are doing, where moving to smaller cities, which of course, like, give you more peace of mind. And if you can make that happen, like, that's also an opportunity in the making. And totally see a lot of, in terms of your question to, like, what I see happening, I see a lot more people deciding to move to smaller cities and stay closer and being generally closer to where they belong and their families and their friends, and still make a business or living out of it as the internet penetrates and we see more and more opportunities coming out in this space. So I would say conscious consumerism, I only see it getting easier with every day. More brands, more organizations putting their weight behind the causes that you and I care about as individual consumers.
This is a transformation or a realization that I had personally as well, that, you know, less is more. Maybe it's okay to live in a small city. Maybe it's okay not to have the fanciest job or do have the most fanciest job designation or make the most amount of money. Mm-hmm. But what really matters is that, are you spending time doing the things that you really enjoy and that you're passionate about? Are you spending time with the right people? You don't really know how much more time you have left with your parents or your sister or your siblings, because life is so unpredictable, one thing. But the other thing is, we're all so scattered pursuing all of these lofty goals, but we completely lose track of where our roots are. So, you know, I'm one of those people who are trying to do that transition back, or who are okay with what they have, because that's a good balance between having a decent job while still having adequate amount of time to pursue your other interests outside of work. It's a conscious choice that my wife and I have made, that, you know, we're not going to work for huge, large consulting outfits, and we're going to work for organizations that still give us really good, challenging work, great people to work with, but at the same time also respect our personal time and our personal space, so that we have an opportunity to balance both sides of the world and experience it, and not just live for the weekend or live for a fancy holiday that comes once a year or once in 6 months.
Fantastic to hear. I don't think either of us wants to sort of necessarily deride the other opinion. The wonderful thing about consciousness or being a conscious consumer is that it can be very unique to your own self. And a lot of it does go back to self-awareness, being sure of, like, what are the values that you stand for, that you believe in, and building a lifestyle around that. Yeah, and there is only more reason with each passing day for us to do that.
This is an idea that's extremely close to my heart. And, you know, I love the way that you look at it. I love the way that you think about it. And I'm so happy to know that it's beyond theory, right? It's something that you're actually living and breathing and practicing. And now you're also taking that to the work that you do with your organization. So that's really I'm really happy to know that.
Yeah, and while we're on this topic, I think it's almost like a duty to mention Ikigai. The Japanese concept that some of your listeners may already be aware of, which is a beautiful intersection of things that you love, things that you're good at, things that you can get paid for, and things that the world needs. And I think it definitely gives meaning to your work. I can say that, because one of the big reasons why we sort of moved away from my last venture. So before Mensch, I was building an operations consulting venture called Sukshma. One of the big reasons why we moved away from that venture is because we couldn't feel that our heart wasn't there any longer. Over the years, I discovered that sustainable development goals or conscious capitalism is something that the world could use more of. So I try to constantly rate my work, rate my days, my time that I'm spending working across those dimensions. And I have to say, like, it's a very useful guide.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And it's so important that we keep doing this on a regular basis, right? Because It's easy to drift away and be a football and not realize the kind of choices that you're making,
mm-hmm.
as against being more aware of why you're doing something and how you're in control of making those deliberate and intentional choices.
Yeah.
Rather than being on autopilot all the time.
Yeah, right. Totally. I mean, I was telling you about the different strands of consciousness in this theory of everything, where he describes that consciousness as a spiral, which also correlates well with several academic literature in the developmental psychology, which means that, like, essentially you're throughout your life, you are through a spiral, and different experiences or different people that you encounter along the way, they can mean like a jump in your consciousness. So for example, say if you're someone who was brought up believing that family is really important, nation is really important, you can enter a new culture, say a college, where you start to feel like, say for example, if you go into the green consumerism space, where you start to feel like we're not taking care of the planet enough and we need to do more of that. So that can become your guiding values in terms of like things that you measure different issues against. So those kind of jumps in consciousness can happen, and it makes sense to try to be always aware and make small incremental changes in your life that can be sustainable at that point in time. I mean, it's interesting to note, like when we're talking about sustainability and sustainable development and asking our organizations to create products that are sustainable, I think as individual, it's our responsibility to sort of build those sustainable changes in our own lifestyle. And I think in that sense, making some small incremental changes every day adds up better than making radical changes. And I think people who have taken up New Year resolutions can relate with this. It makes sense for you to build into a habit and do things more, every day, rather than saying like 1st January is going to be a different thing altogether.
Right. As we reach the far end of the episode, that how does it feel to be on the Passion People podcast?
I would say I felt alive in that sense. I was able to sort of bring out lot many ideas that I did not think of coming in. The questions were really, really helpful guides in that direction. And thanks for having me over and having this conversation. It was really, really insightful and helpful for me as well.
Thanks. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your thoughts on a very relevant and pertinent passion. I'm really happy to have spoken to you about this.
I'm glad. And in case you or anyone listening want to hit me up and have a conversation, small game, you can find me on LinkedIn or Instagram.
I'll include all of your contact information on the show notes for the listeners.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning into the show. We appreciate you taking the time out for this. If you like what you heard, please share this with a few friends and leave a review rating on your favorite podcaster. This will help more people learn about the podcast. Until next time, this is Kritika from the Passion People podcast, wishing you a wonderful week ahead. Stay passionate. Cheers.